Welcome to the Inside Light podcast, a space for healing, self-connection, and all things spiritual. I'm Terry, also known in the sober world as Sassy Sober Mum, and I believe that within each of us lives a guiding light, a quiet, powerful presence that always knows the way. Here, we'll explore the many paths back to that light. Together, we'll dive into stories of healing, practices that bring us home to ourselves, and conversations about awakening. Those moments when we remember who we truly are. Whether you're seeking clarity, courage, or simply a reminder that you are not alone on your journey of life, this podcast is here to hold space for you. Because the light inside you has never gone out. It's always been guiding you, waiting for you to come back home. This is the Inside Light podcast. Let's begin. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's The Inside Light podcast episode. I am going to talk to you today about mirrors and shadows. But before I do that, I just wanted to check in, see how you all were. I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling well rested. It is Monday morning. I managed to get up this morning just after 6 a.m. and do some of my new breath work exercises that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make a pocket of time early in the morning before the house wakes up so that I can have a little bit of me time to do book writing, meditation, breath work, journaling, or anything that takes my fancy in the morning. I had actually quite an interesting encounter last night. When I went to bed, I checked that my back doors were locked. I have glass doors at the back of my house. And I noticed that the sky was very clear and there were a lot of stars in the sky. And I love the stars. I really love to gaze at the stars. And as I was kind of looking around, it was quite cold actually. I noticed that to my right, which I then realised was the west, there was this very, very twinkly thing. At first I thought it was an aeroplane, but then bizarrely an aeroplane did go over my home. Aeroplanes never go over my house, really, especially not really that late at night, but that was moving and that was definitely a plane. But this thing that was in the sky was still. It was sort of flashing like a white and red. And I thought, what is that? You know, is that a UFO? Am I looking at a UFO? It was really bizarre because it was flashing. It was very bright and it was very obvious to me. And so I asked my husband to have a look. And he was convinced that it was a satellite. But I thought, no, I don't think it's a satellite. So anyway, I couldn't stop looking at it. And I put my glasses on and I was really thinking, God, I wish I had a telescope or some binoculars so that I could really study it. And I kept going back to the, we've got the same kind of glass doors in our bedroom at the back. I kept kind of hanging over the balcony, looking at this thing twinkling in the sky. I've got one of those sky star apps and I was trying to map what kind of star it was. And one of the things that came up to me was Saturn. And I thought, but is it Saturn? I sort of doubted myself. And I think I'd settled on the fact that it was some other big star. But anyway, I came to my laptop this morning to my desk and I've got a moon calendar subscription in my main calendar, and in that subscription it also has planets and stars and other activity. And this weekend it said Saturn crazy bright. So basically what that meant was that Saturn will be at opposition, which is its closest approach to Earth. It will be brighter this week than at any other time of the year, and it will be visible all night long. This is the best time to view and photograph Saturn and its moons. A medium-sized or larger telescope will allow you to see the rings and a few of the bright moons around it. I didn't even know Saturn had moons, to be honest, but I've been doing a little bit of research this morning, and I'm absolutely fascinated by the fact that it stopped me in my tracks that I saw this planet in the sky twinkling away at me, and I was trying to think about what that might mean for me spiritually. But I also then, once I'd done a little bit of a deep dive in my research, I also realized that based on my date of birth and the year that I was born, that Saturn is actually an extra important planet for me because it's my ruling planet. So it says that you tend to feel Saturn transits more strongly than most, since they resonate with your natural themes of structure, discipline, and responsibility. So it felt a little bit like a cosmic nudge for me. I've got a few things on my agenda this week that I want to achieve so that I can get more in alignment with my life goals, with my soul purpose. And so I'm going to be tackling a couple of big things this week. And it just feels a little bit like a cosmic nod, seeing this planet twinkling away. I feel an extra reassurance that everything will be fine. Everything will go the way that I hope that it will go, that I want it to go. And that essentially the universe is there, has my back. So that was quite a nice... That's quite a nice feeling. And actually, I have bought some binoculars today, and they are meant to be arriving today even. So I'm looking forward to, hopefully, as long as it stays as clear as it is outside my window right now, it's a beautiful, crisp, blue, cold sky out there. It looks absolutely stunning. And, you know, fingers crossed I'll get to see this amazing event tonight in the sky and see it even more clearly than I could last night. So without further ado, what are we talking about today? So I wanted to bring to your attention the conversation around mirrors and shadows, why we get triggered by other people. And I think that this is really helpful because I have been doing quite a bit of what's known as shadow work during my spiritual awakening. From what I can gather, this is quite common to go deep on and to explore the things that we hold or hide in our shadow. The things that we fear that we might be ashamed of. And what's quite interesting about this is that when we get triggered by other people, this then touches the tender points of those shadows and brings them to the surface. But if you're like me, I was completely unaware of this almost silent collaboration of external factors, external conversations, and my inner world feeling uncomfortable. And I just think this is really useful for people to understand, to reflect on, to perhaps start paying attention to. Because I think this stuff really helps to set you free. It helps to start to identify and loosen the chains of how we might let other people impact our our emotions and how we operate on a day-to-day basis. So the concept here is that other people often act like mirrors in our lives. So they reflect back parts of ourselves. And like I said, usually when they reflect parts of ourselves that we're maybe uncomfortable with, even if that's an unknowing discomfort, then that can provoke big reactions or just, yeah, kind of almost like internal conflict in a way. It's about acknowledging that triggers are uncomfortable, but they're actually incredibly valuable for self-awareness and for self-healing. So for me, one of the things that came up in my kind of environment, if you like, or one of the things that I started to notice and pay attention to was when I was judging other people, I always feel, or at least I always say outwardly, I'm not a judgmental person. Actually, I think a lot of people say I'm not judgmental, but a lot of people actually are judgmental. I do think some of that is unfortunately is human behavior driven by the ego. And I think the ego is very much in control a lot of the time, and it's easy to slip in and out of that ego state several times a day. Some people might be better at noticing or handling that, but I think a lot of us are driven by ego, and I think the world is set up to be quite ego driven because we all value external power, and that's the way that everything around us is set up. So I noticed that I was being judgmental about certain situations, or perhaps those people in those situations, and there was something about thinking these sorts of thoughts that was starting to make me feel uncomfortable. I didn't like the fact that I was feeling these judgments. It didn't make me feel very good. And of course, they wouldn't make you feel very good. They're quite low vibrational thoughts and feelings when you're judging another human. And I started to pay attention to what was underneath the judgment. So for me, sharing very openly and honestly, part of my shadow work was that I would sometimes envy people that looked like they had more than me, or appeared to have a more straightforward life, or, you know, sometimes I can slip into this narrative a little bit when I think about my home life and the setup that I have with, you know, we're all neurodivergent in our home. That's something that's relatively new information for us as a family that we're still getting used to. And sometimes it can feel like the thought of going out for a nice family meal, it's so difficult for us at the moment in the current conditions that we're in. It's very difficult to get out as a family and to just have those kind of like nice, idyllic, everyone sits around the table and chats and has a lovely old time and orders pudding and, you know, leaves and just basically has a nice time. You know, our experience, our experience so far would tell us that's not, you know, that doesn't really happen yet, and that we are in a place where, because of all the different needs and neurotypes around the table, there's generally quite a lot of conflict, and it's just not worth the hassle. It's much easier for us to separate and go with one child, or go on our own, or, you know, to not try and put so much pressure on ourselves to do a lot of these things that are too hard for our family at the moment. And so sometimes it can be easy to get caught up in feeling a bit of it, you know, feeling a victim of our circumstances, and, oh, it's not fair, or I wish we could do this, or I wish it wasn't like that for us. And sometimes that can then provoke the feeling of, you know, other people having access to something that you don't, or it can almost provoke feelings of jealousy. At the end of the day, it's, you know, when I see a family that are going out and having an absolutely lovely time around the table and everyone's getting along, and, you know, then you know, sometimes I feel envious of that. Like, that's just me being very honest. And so some of these feelings were coming up for me, and I was trying to work out, what is it that's in my shadow that needs to be looked at, needs to be seen? And I realized that when I was younger, when I was a child, I had a very, you know, quite a tough upbringing. We didn't have a lot of money, and my mum and dad argued quite a lot. My mum was a big drinker, so sometimes she would act in certain ways around other people or in public that, you know, people might kind of laugh at, or, you know. So I think as a child, I was aware of my surroundings and aware of it being different from other people. And I remembered as a kid that I used to go to my friends' houses and I used to feel really jealous of their home life, of their beautiful homes, the fact that they would go on nice holidays every year, sometimes on aeroplanes, which was, you know, quite different to me because I had a lot of caravan holidays and we didn't have that kind of money to go on those types of trips. But I had friends that had nice houses and, you know, mums and dads that got along and weren't always arguing all the time, and parents that worked hard, they weren't getting sacked from their jobs every 5 minutes. And it was just a very different experience. Like, for me, I felt like a lot of what my friends had, I didn't have at home. And that provoked this jealousy, this envy that I wanted to be like my friends. I wished that I could be like my friends. And it's interesting because I haven't thought about that for, I don't know, 35 years, 40 years. I haven't had that kind of feeling for a very long time. But obviously these feelings and these, you know, the way that you grow up and the framework that you grow up in has a big impact on your life and has a big impact on these shadows that you push these sort of feelings aside into this shadow's chest, almost into this box, and you feel embarrassed sometimes and humiliated by some of these feelings. And you don't know what to do with them, especially when you're young, when you're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So that was something that I realized that as an adult, as who I am today, I'm 47, nearly 48 years old, and I was still having some of these feelings come up where I might feel envious of what somebody else appears to have. Because that's the other thing, right? The other thing is that it's very easy to look at something for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and to get a snapshot of someone else's life and to think that it's perfect. And that's the other thing, especially with social media, that you think you have to be careful of, in that you don't really know what anybody else's life experience is like. You only get a snapshot, don't you? But anyway, I carried these feelings in my childhood, that I had these feelings of envy and of jealousy, of a really deep longing for some normality and stability and for some of the nice things that my friends had. And I noticed that this was coming up for me in my spiritual awakening when I was feeling judgments on other people. I was actually that young fear, that young discomfort, that young, feeling of failure, not being good enough, all of those sorts of things were sort of bubbling to the surface, just almost in a different form. So I journaled around that and I tried to help myself unpick that. I think one of the things that was difficult was to admit that out loud and to say, actually, sometimes I feel jealous of this or envious of that. And I spoke to my husband about it, and it was a very healing conversation, actually, because I took a deep breath and explained that I was feeling jealous of these certain things. And, you know, he is so supportive in these situations. He said, well, sometimes I feel like that too, you know. So he was able to just give me something in that moment that made me feel seen and validated and didn't make me feel ashamed like I might have felt all of those years ago for having these kinds of feelings. So there was something that had kind of triggered me, or there were some things that were triggering me. And when I really started to unpick that, I realized that there were these underlying feelings of maybe resentment or envy. And then when I really unpicked that even further, I recognized that that was something that was born in my childhood from the situation that I was raised in. So triggers point often to unhealed wounds or suppressed parts of ourselves. When someone, and this shows up really, really clearly, when somebody embodies a quality that we dislike, it can reflect something that we've been taught to reject in ourselves, or it can activate shame or fear or memories of when we were being judged as a kid. And it can remind us of qualities that we buried in order to fit in. So, you know, I think that's really interesting to reflect on and to think about. You know, sometimes when we see something, so the bit that I'm probably missing here is that the situation about the judgment is that I was actually judging somebody else for being judgmental. So ironically, I was actually judging somebody else for being very judgmental and saying this person's really judgmental. And actually, when I unraveled, it was actually me that was also being, you know, being judgmental, and that was linking to something that I had, kind of pushed down in myself. So I'm trying to think about another situation where I think that the situation that comes up quite frequently for me, because I work a lot in the sobriety space. And I help a lot of people to stop drinking or get more comfortable with their journey of sobriety. One of the things that comes up quite a lot in early sobriety is when a big drinker decides to stop drinking, usually that big drinker has a lot of friends that are also, you know, drinkers or big drinkers. And so when that one person decides, that's it, I'm actually going to prioritize myself and prioritize my health and get sober, then that can provoke quite a negative reaction in their family and friends, because what it does is it holds up a mirror to those people, and it's quite confronting, because quite often a lot of people that are big drinkers, they might say, oh, it's really fun, or this is really, you know, I've had the best night ever. But it's quite a conflicting place to be when you're feeling very hungover and you're feeling frustrated about how much you drink. Maybe you wish that you didn't drink as much as you did. Maybe you wish that you could moderate a bit better, or whatever those things are. And so when somebody in your group then just stops drinking, it feels so unreachable and impossible to get to a place where you might do that yourself, that actually, rather than welcoming that as like, oh, well done, that's amazing, that person might feel triggered because it holds up a mirror to them. And so instead they might get quite defensive and say, well, why would you do that? How are you going to have fun now? Oh, that's ridiculous. Oh, you're going to be so boring. And so in that situation, that dynamic, it's not that you are boring or you are bad for stopping drinking, but it's that the other people are not able to cope with the idea of that for themselves. So they kind of project that onto you and make you feel bad, but really it's saying more about them and it's actually got nothing to do with you. Hopefully that makes sense. So that's, you know, a trigger. So when you feel a reaction to something that somebody says and you feel quite activated, there's something inside that's either been suppressed or is an unhealed wound. There's a quote actually, everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves, and that's Carl Jung. So some common examples of shadow projections might be disliking someone's confidence because you were taught humility. You know, you were taught to repress your own confidence. Maybe you were told, oh, you're being a show off. And so, you know, rather than being in that moment as a child, you might have been really appreciating, expressing yourself, being outgoing, you know, getting into the flow or the spirit of something. Instead, it was you were shut down and basically you learned to repress that inner confidence. Maybe you were feeling really confident about something or, you know, certain things as a kid, and somebody might say, oh, don't get too big for your boots, and would try and kind of put you in your place. You know, I think there's a lot of these sorts of childhood sayings, I know from my own childhood, that I think are probably, you know, the intention is that they're meant to be helpful, but they're actually dismissive, invalidating, and they can actually make us feel bad about who we are. And so, yeah, judging someone's laziness, perhaps because you were praised only for being productive, which also creates a sort of a rejection for your need to rest. If you're somebody that was praised and conditionally loved for always being productive, or maybe even always getting results, perhaps you can't cope, or you feel activated by somebody who's quite happy just to sit and not do very much. Maybe it's feeling uncomfortable with someone's emotional expression. So, you know, somebody crying or having a very externalized expression of discomfort makes you feel uncomfortable because you learned to shut your feelings down. You were told to stop crying, or, you know, man up, you know, only boys don't cry, for example. All of these sorts of things that unfortunately we were probably, you know, exposed to in our childhood. So how do we work with these triggers? What do we do when we notice these things happening, when we notice this inner activation, or when something annoys us and you know, it's annoying us to quite a large degree? I think the first thing really is to just pause, take an intentional pause, try and pause instead of reacting, and just noticing the intensity of your reaction. If you feel very 10 out of 10 activated, despite the fact that objectively the situation wasn't perhaps that big, or the comment wasn't that bad, but yet you feel extremely activated, then that's a really good indication that that's more to do with shadow and childhood wounds than the in the moment situation that's happening. You can ask yourself, and this is a really, really, really good question, but what does this person's behavior remind me of? What can I recognize from another time when I felt this feeling? Quite often that's in childhood, but I felt this feeling, and that this current situation is almost taking me back to that time when I first felt this feeling, or when I used to feel this feeling quite a lot. It's almost like muscle memory. The thought, the feeling, the reaction comes up, and it reminds us of something in our past. And that's why there can sometimes be a disconnect between the current day situation and the reaction might feel very big, but that's because it's much more heightened in our system, because it is it's almost scraping an old wound, and it's you know, every time that happens it gets a little bit more tender and it gets a bit more painful. So the other thing that you can do is you can journal or meditate on what part of me am I rejecting or hiding here? A bit like I did when I managed to connect the dots that my me saying that person is so judgmental, you know, look at how judgmental they're being with all of these situations X, Y, Z, and then realizing, well, actually I'm being judgmental of that person being judgmental. Well, where does that come from? You know, actually, and what's that underneath that for me was this kind of like deep sense of failure, deep lack of belonging, you know, and a deep sadness around envying what somebody else had that I really wanted, but I didn't at the time have access to. Then I think what's really important to follow that is to practice compassion. So both for yourself and for the person who triggered you. One of the things that I like to do is to love myself anyway. You know, have the feelings, they're quite uncomfortable, bring those things up to the surface, say them out loud if you have the confidence to do that, and you're willing to push yourself into that place of really being very vulnerable, which is hard to do, not impossible, but it can feel hard if you're new to vulnerability. But also to have compassion. So, you know, when I look back at 8, 9, 10-year-old me who was feeling sad and envious of my friends because my friends had stable homes and or they had a whole bunch of things that I wished I had. You know, I felt sad for young me and I just wanted to jump in and give young me a hug. And sometimes I do that in meditation. Sometimes I go back into some of those experiences where I felt those things and I meet myself and I give myself a hug and I will say, you know, you are brilliant, you are perfect as you are, and soon this will make sense. And, you know, there is some wisdom in this pain and in these feelings. One day you will help other people with your stories. You know, sometimes I say those sorts of things to the younger version of myself and give myself a hug, almost reparenting myself, giving myself in that moment what I felt like I really lacked. But it's also really helpful, I think, to then extend that compassion to the person that you're maybe referring to, or that in my case, I was saying this person's really judgmental. I was trying to think about what in their life may have made them be judgmental. Like at the end of the day, we're all humans here having a human 3D life experience. We're all here to learn, we're all here to grow. We're all here to achieve things, whether we do or not. That's essentially why we're here. And I do feel like, you know, humans are born inherently good. Like nobody is born bad. Everybody is born inherently good. And it's only the experiences that we have in life, the environmental factors, the landscapes that we're raised in, the frameworks, the patterns that we're exposed to, that really changes and shapes the course of where we go in life. And so, you know, thinking about everybody at some point being born into this world as a completely helpless newborn baby and having compassion for all the people and for their different journeys that they're on. I just think sometimes stepping out of your own life experience and out of your own shoes and into somebody else's can be really helpful and can give a different perspective to what might be a pattern of just getting angry that that person is that way and we're right and the ego confirms that. Yeah, we're right, we're winning. I don't think that is a progressively helpful mindset to stay stuck in. And seeing the triggers as invitations for healing. So actually welcoming them when they come up, welcome them with open arms. It's not proof that something is wrong with others, as I've just said. It's an opportunity for learning, for growth, for spiritual advancement. The things that you dislike in others are the things that you deny in yourself. It's a quote, an unknown quote. The benefits of shadow work. So if you do some of this shadow work, and if you go on this journey of trying to understand what is driving the triggers and the stuff behind the things that you find triggering, if you do some of this deeper work, you do move into a place of greater self-acceptance, because what you're doing is you're reclaiming the parts of you that you've disowned. You're reclaiming the parts of you that you feel able and open and capable enough to embrace. So therefore you embrace all of you, not just the bits that you perceive as the good parts of you. You have more compassion in relationships because you're prone to less judgment and more understanding. If you can extend that compassion, not just for yourself, but out into the universe and to the people that you, you know, that you interact with day to day, then overall, you're going to have a much calmer, less activating time of life, feeling more whole and authentic. So I think you're in an energy when you do this of authenticity, and you realize that these triggers are becoming teachers, they're not enemies. So I just wanted you to think about that, to think about in your day-to-day lives, what are the things that come up for you or that have come up for you recently, conversations or things that people have said or situations that you've been in, unexpected incidents or dramas that you felt really frustrated about or you felt annoyed about or that you felt sad about, or that you have, you know, one of the easiest ways to recognize this is, you know, sometimes when something happens and you have to tell everybody about it, you have to almost convince everybody that your way is the right way or that you handled it in this way, and isn't this other person so bad or isn't this other situation so terrible and it's just not fair, and you end up just, you take that story and you just throw it out into your immediate environment to try and make sure everybody is giving you what you need in that moment, which is validation that you're right. And this is very ego-driven behavior. So I want you to think about these things, these questions, and reflect on them. Ideally, journal about them as well and pay attention to this in your everyday life moving forward. So What are the situations or people that trigger you the most? What does their behavior remind you of in yourself? When was the last time you overreacted? What fear or belief was hiding underneath? What parts of you do you try to hide from others and why? What do you judge harshly in others? And could this be something that you deny in yourself? What are you most afraid that people will find out about you? What do you feel ashamed of? And what story do you tell yourself about it? When did you first learn that some parts of you were not okay? What would your younger self need to hear from you right now? If your shadow could speak, what would it want you to know? And how might the qualities you hide actually serve you in a healthy way? And here are some ways in which you can find examples of shadows and how they show up day to day. So for example, anger. The hidden shadow is, I must always be kind and never angry. The everyday appearance, you don't yell, but you get passive aggressive texts, silent treatment, or you explode over something tiny like the dishwasher not being loaded right. Control, the hidden shadow. I'm easygoing. I don't need control. But the everyday appearance, you feel secretly resentful when others don't do things your way. You fix people's work or redo tasks. You may disguise it as helping. Neediness, the hidden shadow. I'm independent. I don't need anyone. the everyday appearance. You feel hurt when friends don't check in, but you don't tell them. Instead, you withdraw and silently hope that they'll notice. Envy, the hidden shadow. I'm above jealousy. I celebrate others, the everyday appearance. You scroll social media, feel a pang when someone announces success and tell yourself it's not actually that impressive. Fear of failure, hidden shadow. I'm confident, I can handle anything. Everyday appearance. You procrastinate important projects. You over-prepare endlessly or avoid trying new things so that you won't risk failing. Sensitivity. I'm tough, I don't get hurt. Everyday appearance. You overreact to criticism. You feel crushed by small comments, but you cover it with sarcasm, humour, or withdrawing. Pride. Hidden shadow. I'm humble and modest. Everyday appearance. You secretly crave recognition. Feel bitter when not acknowledged, or subtly compete to show that you're better. The shadow isn't bad, it's just what we've learnt to hide. The trick is noticing when a reaction feels bigger than the situation, because that's often your shadow peeking through. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you found it useful. I hope that you go away with some ideas on how to bring this shadow work, or to start looking at this shadow work in your lives and helping to set yourself free from some of the big hidden feelings that most of the time you're keeping at bay, but every now and then kind of explode into action because they're parts that are being denied that want to be seen, want to be validated, and want to be embraced. You are worthy of being wholly embraced, especially by yourself. Until next week, have a lovely week. Thank you.